morning. In one of America's newest fine restaurants, Tom Brenneman's on Vine Street between Hollywood and Sunset Boulevard, Kellogg's Pep and Procter & Gamble's Ivory Flakes serve you breakfast in Hollywood. Well, friends, Tom is still enjoying a short vacation. But taking over the job of running Brenneman's Beanery on the air is another radio personality who's considered an expert chef. Just like Tom, every time he opens his mouth, he cooks his own goose. And here he is, Gary Brechner.
Wonderful. Good old Ivory Flakes comes first on our program this morning. Procter & Gamble's Ivory Flakes. And look at all these ladies just in out of this lovely, sunshiny weather that we're having out here in Hollywood. Wonderful, wonderful. Good morning, ladies. That's sweet. You know, now that you all know my name, and I don't know your name at all. Not any one of your name. Now, think of your last name, and when I say three, everybody yell out his last name. Will you do that? So that I'll get to know you anyway. All right, one, two, three. Very happy to know you all, Mr. and Mrs. Shushushmishu. That's really very wonderful. Mighty nice to have you out here. Let's find out who some of these ladies are. Oh, must be a convention out in town. And who are you?
I'm Mary Walters, commander of the Hollywood Navy Mothers Club.
Well, and I picked out the commander right off the bat. Wouldn't you know that? Oh, that's grand. What is the occasion this morning?
Well, we're just here celebrating, just coming to see Tom Brenneman, and we didn't see Tom, so we see you, Gary.
Isn't that wonderful? So you see me, and I bet you're disappointed not seeing Tom.
No, I'm not. I've seen you before.
Oh, you have? Maybe I'd better go out the next table. Who are you?
Mabel Payne.
And where are you from?
Oh, I'm from this Mattoon, Illinois.
Mattoon, Illinois?
Yes, sir.
That's a nice town. And you?
Dorothy Chester.
From?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. And you?
Vera Negri.
From where?
Minneapolis.
Don't be so bashful about telling where you're from. Who are you?
Lorraine Robertson. Robertson?
Yeah, I got the name. Where are you from?
Hollywood.
Hollywood. And who are you?
Mrs. John Marsh, Kansas City, Missouri.
That old girl, she speaks right up and lets me know where she's from. And who are you?
Mrs. Charles Reyes.
From?
New York.
New York City. My gracious, from a big town. And who are you?
Mrs. Orga from Salt Lake City, Utah.
Salt Lake City, Utah. Well, let's meet these servicemen up here. I think we've got a nice bunch of them up here at the table. Now, remember, boys, what I told you. Here we go.
Salt Lake City, Utah, ART2C, Lewis Latimer.
You?
Portland, Maine, Corporal Ernest Mills.
Fine. You?
Parkersburg, West Virginia, Private Don Fleming.
First time I've heard that word, West Virginia, up here in these 3 days. You?
New Orleans, Louisiana. Skimming first class, Charles Theitman.
You?
Kinsley, Kansas. Private first class, Melvin Penn.
Good.
Morrisville, Missouri. Private J.D. Herbert.
He wasn't sure whether he's a private or what. You?
Vallejo, California. PSC. Nicholas Franco.
Good. You?
Hollywood, California. Waterpenter second class, Hartley O'Dew.
Wonderful. You?
Springfield, Missouri. Private John H. White.
You?
Ken, South Dakota. Private Donald E. Kirling.
South Dakota. Great. I get you, sailor? No.
I got me.
Oh, I got you already. You?
Ann Arbor, Michigan. Charles Trek, fireman first.
Good old Ann Arbor. How's the university doing back there?
Pretty good. We're on a ball.
Huh?
I say we're on a ball.
Oh, good.
Douglas, Kansas. Sergeant Edward Bear.
Glad to have you all with us, boys. Let's see. There's some more servicemen down here. Let's find this sergeant here.
Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Master Sergeant Bill Risky.
And he's got a good soldier medal on him, too. Fine going.
Good morning, Gary. Hiya.
Chester Walker, Hollywood, California, Yeoman First Class.
Well, Chet, how are you? Glad to see you again, fella. Long time no see. And you?
Gladstone, Michigan, Lieutenant John Rogers, Marine Air Corps.
Marine Air Corps. Good boy. And you?
Hollywood, California, Corporal Danny Davis.
And, Corporal, I see that you've been overseas. What theater were you in?
In the Pacific.
Down in the Pacific. Kind of hot down there, wasn't it?
Pretty warm.
Pretty warm, pretty warm. What do you mean it was doggone warm?
Los Angeles, California, Tech Sergeant Harry Colder.
Good. And you?
Denver, Colorado, Captain Robert M. Munson.
Glad to have you here, Captain. I can't reach a lot of boys that are way back in the background, but let's go around this side.
Littlefield, Texas, James M. Roberts.
Columbus, Ohio, Ensign Jack A. Bates.
These Texans all stick together, don't they?
You? Sacramento, California, Private Mary Z. Joseph.
Pasquin, Alberta, Canada, Marie Gorham.
From Alberta, Canada. What do you know about that? Isn't that nice? Oh, I think we've hit them all around the tables here. Oh, wait a minute. Here's a whole table full of them right here. Let's find out who all this brass hat is sitting around here. Let me see if I remember my protocol all right from the last war. Let's see. We stopped at the top ranking man. Here he is right here.
Wichita, Kansas. Colonel A.H. Dennison.
Glad to have you here, Colonel. And you, sir?
Minneapolis, Minnesota. Major Roy R. West.
Good. Here's another major over here.
Gary, Indiana. Matt Leach, Major Air Corps.
Good.
Revere, Massachusetts, Major Francis H. Farrell.
Over here?
Sacramento, California, Lieutenant Crayler.
Arlington, Virginia, Captain Charles L. Knight.
Seymour, Texas, Lieutenant C.F. Banker.
Belleville, Illinois, Major Robert E. Tucker.
Glad to have all here. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to have all of these servicemen and women get up on their feet, and let's give them all a big Hollywood and breakfast applause. That's very wonderful. Glad to have you all aboard here, believe me. By the way, do you all like to go to the theater? You're going to sit down in the box? Very ritzy, that. I sat in a box once. Sure was crowded. With all those ivory flakes in there with me. Sure, it was a blue and white box. I didn't mind, though, because I knew ivory flakes would give my clothes up to twice the wear. I knew that because scientifically conducted wash tests had proved it to be so. That's right, those tests definitely established the fact that when children's wool clothes and rayon dresses and dainty slips and lots of other things were given ivory flakes care, they gave up to twice the wear. And pretty things stayed fresh-looking and pretty up to twice as long. So it seems to me that your cue to always wash gently and use ivory flakes. Never wash things the wrong way. Never use the wrong kind of soap. Go to your store and get one of those blue and white boxes of ivory flakes. Those tissue-thin, glistening white flakes, which are the flake form of pure, mild ivory soap. Join that happy procession of housewives who are getting up to twice the wear by changing to gentle ivory flakes care. Yes, sir. And that's the first half of our program sponsor. Oh, by the way, I had a telegram from Tom this morning. Old Tom Brenneman away on a vacation. Oh, this is signed Uncle Corny. Says, Dear Gary, finally reached Las Vegas. What a reception stop. When Tom got off the train, everybody came streaming out of houses as if there had been an earthquake. They knew that a big jerk had hit Tom. Love to all, Uncle Corny. Carl, I think it's about time that we picked out a hat. My top of my head's getting a little bit cold.
Time of day, Gary. There's a thing over here, a white thing. Looks if the wearer got caught between two streetcars or an elevator door.
Got jammed up a little bit, huh? Look at her looking around. She doesn't know who she's being pointed at. Will you kind of take that hat off and... Oh, my, now she is embarrassed. Oh, that is a beauty. What? From Kenmore, New York, I heard that much of it.
John Mullen from Kenmore.
This is John Mullen. I think that's Mullen. Oh, isn't that a choice day? Now, the idea is that I have to put that on, huh?
I'm afraid so, Gary, if you can reach that high.
Let me see if this stretches. Oh, rubber's all out of that. Must be a war on or something. Does it go on sideways? This way or that way? That way. All right. Whoop. I guess it goes this way. Oh, I think that's wonderful. That's the most beautiful bonnet that I've had on in a long...
Thank you very much. Lady says it's very becoming. And if you walk down the street and kind of bow real quick to somebody, it comes right off. I'm going to borrow that hat for a minute because we want to pick out a number out of this whole raft of numbers that we got here, one for each person in here, for our little wishing ring ceremony. Colonel, you look very honest. I'm going to ask you to draw a number out of there. Thank you, sir. That's very nice. Now get your numbers out, lady.
We interrupt this program to bring you a bulletin from the Blue Network newsroom in Los Angeles. President Truman will visit the San Francisco conference. This has just been announced by the White House. This bulletin came from the Blue Network newsroom in Los Angeles. We return you to your regularly scheduled program.
Wishing ring that we're going to give her. Meantime, let's find out who the young ladies are with the Army and the Navy down here. And you?
Trudy Einheit from Cleveland, Ohio.
Nice to have you here, Trudy. And who are you?
Alberta Pitt in St. Louis, Missouri.
How'd you two get together here? And here she is, our nice lady who won the wishing ring with her number 33064. And may I ask, what is your name?
Mrs. Tennis.
And where are you from, Mrs. Tennis?
Oakland, California.
Down here on a holiday or something?
I'm visiting.
Visiting. Where do you live up there in Oakland?
3326 Harrison Street.
And that is right in the city of Oakland?
It's just a few blocks from Lake Merritt.
Oh, that's a nice lake, isn't it?
Yes.
You ever go fishing there? Nice for ducks. You mean you like ducks or do you like to hunt them?
Both.
Have you gone hunting ducks, really?
Long time ago.
Long time ago. Where was that?
Oh, up in Northern California.
You live in California all your life?
Yes.
Are you a native daughter?
Yes.
Oh, that's grand. Are you a housewife?
No, I'm a homemaker.
Now, I like a woman who says with determination, I am a homemaker. And I bet you've got a very nice home, too. Do you have any children?
Well, they're grown.
They're still children to you, though, aren't they? And where are they now?
My son's in the Pacific somewhere, and my daughter is in San Mateo.
Fine. Is he in the Army or the Navy?
Army.
In the Army. That's a good branch of the service. That's what I was in. Look at all these Army boys around here. Sure. My kid crossed me up, though. He went in the Navy. Well, Mrs. What did you say your name was?
Tennis.
Tennis. Tennis. Tennis. Tennis. Where have I heard that word before? Tennis. Oh, it's a game, isn't it? Yeah, sure. Fine. We have this very beautiful wishing ring that we want to give you. Isn't that a nice-looking ring?
Certainly.
Beautifully designed. And if you will hold out your hand, I want to put this on your little pinky finger. There you are. And now, I want you to make a wish, and all up and down the line, we're going to wish right along with you and hope that your wish will come true. You got a wish?
Yeah.
All right, let's have it. You want to whisper it in my ear?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. All right.
Well, I hope my son gets what he wants.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. We can't let you get away with that. Now, Mrs. Tennis, if it isn't violating any confidence, we would like to know what it is that your son wants.
Well, now, I'll let you guess.
Where does she live?
I won't tell her.
Oh, you won't tell. All right, Mr. Dennis, that was the guess that I had in mind anyway. Thank you very much. By the way, boys and girls, today we are going to send an orchid and one of our famous Cedric orchids to Mrs. Mary Quigley at 40 River Street, Fairhaven, Vermont. And we're sending it to her because, as she said, she couldn't hike out here. It was a little far. Besides, she wanted to be home to celebrate her 100th birthday. Well, that concludes the first half of Breakfast in Hollywood, brought to you by Procter & Gamble's Ivory Flakes. And remember, Ivory Flakes has what it takes. And now we bring you the second portion of the program, brought to you by the grand old Kellogg Company of Battle Creek.
makers of those golden flakes of whole wheat, Pep. As Tom says, Pep sure is a pip. Well, let me see. We're going to find out who else is here this morning. Up and down the line, I know we've got a lot of Navy mothers here, and I sure would like to find out more about them and what they're celebrating. Do you have these? Let's find out who you are.
I'm Mamie Cooper, past commander of the Hollywood Navy Mothers Club, number 317.
That gives me the whole story, doesn't it? Well, Mamie, it's nice to have you here. Do you do this regularly? Have you
I seen? Sure do.
Good. And you usually meet once a month or something?
No, no. We meet twice a month. The first and third Wednesdays of the month, we meet at the American Legion Hall, 2035 North Highland Avenue. We have a sewing room on Cherokee Street where we meet every Thursday. We sew, we mend, we do everything we can for the comfort of our boys. We visit hospitals, and we have an awful lot to do.
I'll bet you do, and I think that's mighty fun. Well, that's grand to have these Navy mothers get together like that, and what are you laughing about? Who are you?
I was just hoping you wouldn't come here.
Just hoping I wouldn't come here. You know, that's the way the girls are here. 50% is wishing that I wouldn't come around, and the other 50% is, I hope he does. And who are you?
Betty Ticker, North Hollywood, California.
And you?
Miss James Weeks, North Hollywood.
And you?
Mrs. Lloyd Burdick, Omaha, Nebraska.
Where?
Omaha.
Omaha, Nebraska. Well, it comes now time to find out who is our oldest guest here at breakfast in Hollywood. Have I got any bids? Who is the oldest guest here in Hollywood at 38. That's 38. 38. Anybody older than... Now, that's amazing because a woman never admits her age until she's at least 50. 40. There's a woman of courage. What? 60. Here's a woman of 60. Last week we had one of 88, another one of 89, and another one of 90. 70. There is a Navy mother there, 70. 72. Anybody else that's older than 72? 79. 79. Going at 79. Going at 79. And sold for 79. Now, let's bring her out here, Carl. I think that's wonderful. Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
That's fine. Let's step over here in the spotlight where everybody can get a good gander at you. And you can rest right on that. Are you nervous?
Yes.
Are you? Would you like a glass of water or a cup
no.
of coffee or something?
No, I have
no.
my coffee.
You have your coffee. Well, that's very nice. And who are you?
Mrs. Temperley.
Mrs. what?
Temperley.
How do you spell it?
T-E-M-P-E-R-L-I.
And where are you from, Mrs.
St. Louis.
St. Louis,
Missouri.
Good. Missourians here this morning, aren't they?
That's so.
And were you married in St. Louis?
Yes, sir.
And where did you meet your husband?
In St. Louis.
That's fine. And what kind of an occasion was it when you met him?
At a dance. New Year's Eve.
When was it?
New Year's Eve.
A New Year's Eve dance. Well, maybe I better not ask you whether he was responsible at the time or not, but he...
Oh, he wasn't.
He was
all right. He was all right.
Can you remember back that far as to what your maiden name was?
Grody.
Grody.
Yes, sir.
Grody, and now you are Temperley.
Yes, sir.
And are you living out here in California now?
No, I'm visiting my daughter.
Oh, she's here with you?
Yes, sir, right over there at the table.
Very nice indeed. And what is her name?
Mrs. Reinheimer.
Mrs. Reinheimer and yes, Mrs. Temperley are living together out here in Hollywood now. That's really wonderful. How many children had you?
Seven.
Seven children. Isn't that wonderful? What a nice family. And how many grandchildren?
Eight.
Eight grandchildren. My. Seven children, eight grandchildren. Is it time to ask you whether you have any great-grandchildren?
Not yet.
Not yet. But you think you probably will have.
I guess I will pretty soon.
Pretty soon. Well,
That's grand. Do you think it'll change your outlook on life at all if you do suddenly find that you are a great-grandmother?
Not at all.
Not at all. No. To what do you attribute your fine health? My, you look nice, rosy cheeks and everything
Thank
else.
Thank you.
what kind of a background did you have? Did you live in the city there at St. Louis all the time?
Yeah, all the time.
All the time?
Not all the time. I wasn't born in St. Louis. I was born in Illinois.
Oh, in Illinois. Yeah. What part of Illinois?
St. Livore.
What?
St. Livore.
St. Livore.
It's on the other side of Mascoutah.
Oh, yeah. That's... makes it just as clear as mud.
Well, that's all I know, because I was only smaller when I moved away from
you
there.
You couldn't remember very much about it. Well, that's fine, because that makes us sort of kinfolk, because I was born in Illinois myself, but I was too young to remember much about it either. And yet yesterday we had on the program a woman here whose mother told her to be sure to tell me that she used to dandle me on her knees.
Is that so?
The size of me now and think that I was ever big enough to be dandled. Struck me as being very funny.
She'd have something to dandle now, wouldn't she?
I would what?
She'd have something to dandle now if she does. Yeah.
Yeah, she really would, I'm afraid. Well, Mrs. Timmerly, we're mighty glad to have you here on the program with us. And when was your birthday?
January the 6th. I'll be 80 years old next January.
A year from last January 6th, or this coming January 6th. Just 6 months to go, approximately.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. You're looking forward to the day, too, aren't you?
Sure, I'm looking forward for more.
Well,
more
that's grand. That's a good idea. We have a very nice gift for you this morning.
Oh.
One of our beautiful Armroy roses from Cedric's. And this from Tom Brenneman via Gary Breckner to you. Is that the first time you've ever had an orchid?
No, sir.
You've had them before?
I had them before.
You've got a good man, believe me.
My son.
What?
Again, for my son. My husband passed away.
Oh.
And
your son
ago.
Supplies you with the
with orchids.
Orchids. I think that's marvelous.
Every Easter.
Does he supply you with this, too?
Oh, yes.
Well, she's a very sweet little Mrs. Timmerly from St. Louis, Missouri, and out here visiting her daughter. Well, thing that I was going to talk about just now was something that happened when I was looking in the dictionary last night. You know, you can show off a lot if you look at the dictionary occasionally. You want to show how familiar you are with the dictionary, you might just toss around the word, for instance, provenience. Provenience. That's a good word. Toss it around in an offhand way, but it'd be a lot simpler to talk about another word beginning with the letter P. Pep, for instance. Look, they all beat me to the punch. Everybody said pep. Well, you could talk about provenience of pep if you knew what the word, what you were talking about. Pep, you know, is a delicious whole wheat flake cereal. Golden toasted flakes which taste just as good as they look. Because pep has a rich, distinctive flavor all its own, unlike any other cereal. And pep makes a valuable contribution toward your well-being, too. You can't expect to have vim, vigor, and vitality unless you eat right, which includes getting all your vitamins. And now we'd like to point out that Kellogg's Pep supplies an extra amount of two important vitamins. Pep contains three times the vitamin B1 found in plain whole wheat. And a 1 ounce serving of Pep furnishes your entire minimum daily need of the sunshine vitamin, vitamin D. You know, I can just visualize a lot of you out there along the network going to your dictionaries to look up that word provenience. But I really think it'll do you more good if you go to your grocery store and look up a package of Pep. Do it today, won't you? And as Tom says, Pep sure is a pit. Well, that's about what we have to say today about Pep. But, oh, dear me, now, time is going so fast, and we've still got to give away our Max Factor makeup kit, and we got some roses and another beautiful big orchid there. But
Before we do that, here is a magnificent letter, and it's our good neighbor letter. It comes from Stoneham, Stoneham, two words put together, and I suppose they mean Stoneham, Stoneham, Massachusetts. And it comes from Mrs. Catherine McPhee of 288 Main Street in Stoneham, Massachusetts, and says, Dear Tom, may I nominate Miss Helen McKay, 9 Lincoln Street, Stoneham, Massachusetts, as one who, through her kindness and diligence, deserves an orchid as a good neighbor. Miss McKay has been the district nurse in Stoneham for over 20 years, and she far exceeds the line of normal duty in the many untold kindnesses that she performs. Having been ill myself over a number of years, I've had the opportunity to know the great work done by Miss McKay. This winter, which hit New England hard, was no drawback to this lady. There were many days that it was impossible to get an automobile on the road, but Miss McKay just got up earlier each morning and started on her daily visits walking. She called on everyone who was on her list, and it was late at night before she reached home. And she was out in many snow and sleet storms. Overtired, she'd start out the next day and do the same thing all over again. On many occasions, she has brought to me little things to eat and has obtained clothing for me, things that I couldn't afford to purchase myself. And she has come on extra visits because she was so worried about my condition. I am only one of hundreds for whom she has done the same thing. I should sincerely appreciate your consideration of this fine lady as the one to receive your Orchid Award. And it's signed, very truly yours, Mrs. Catherine McPhee of 288 Main Street, Stoneham, Massachusetts. And we certainly will send our good neighbor Orchid to Miss Helen McKay, 9 Lincoln Street in Stoneham, Massachusetts. Well, Uncle Corny is the one who usually delivers our orchid down to the Air Express in order to get it away on its way, on its journey. But I'm afraid today our little Bobby is going to have. You've heard about Bobby on this program. Bobby, come on out here, will you, a minute? There he is, folks. Bobby, don't get so nervous and wring the life out of that napkin you're carrying. Oh, it's a piece of paper. What's the matter? You got a gag for me this morning?
Yes. How are you, Uncle Corny?
Now, wait a minute. I warned you about that yesterday. I am not Uncle Corny, even though I may be off the cob.
Oh, Mr. Bragner, that's...
That's much better. Now, have you got a gag for us, Bobby?
Yes, I have.
Let's have it.
Do you know why the Jap Army doesn't have ski troops?
Do I know why the Jap Army doesn't have ski troops? Do I know why the... Does anybody know the answer to that? No, don't draw dumb looks all around the house, just as dumb as my fan. All right, why doesn't the Jap Army have ski troops, Bobby?
Doesn't have the ski troops.
Does not have ski troops, right.
Because they are already on these kids.
Oh! Bobby, I don't know where you get those things. Well, there goes Bobby on his way with the orchid for Miss Helen McKay of 9 Lincoln Street in Stoneham, Massachusetts. And now I think we're going to have time. Yes, we've got about a minute and a half, and if we work real fast, we're going to be able to give away the beautiful Max Factor kit. Will you draw a number out of there, please? Don't look! If that's your number, there are going to be a lot of unhappy people. Here's the number. 33026. Oh, bingo! Oh, that's wonderful. Bingo, she said. And Grace Scott, it was the lady whose hat I had on just a little while ago. Will you pass the hat back to the lady? What was your name again? Mrs. John Mullen, Kenmore, New York. She got her hair a little messed. Bring her a comb, will you, Carl? I mean, she's got her hair messed up there just a little bit. A little comb, man. That's very fine, officer. Get yourself all straightened out there. I think you'll be working out all right. And who are you?
Miss Clarence Sedicum from Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Where?
Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Wonderful. Who are you?
Eleanor Keller from San Fernando.
And you?
Mrs. Larry Little of San Diego and New Orleans.
San Diego and New Orleans. Make up your mind. Which one is it?
Well, I'm from New Orleans, but I'm out here since my husband...
Seems slightly confused. Give her a cigar, Carl. Why, get out your songs, ladies, and let's have the... Give her the cigar, Carl. All right, let's have our songs. And that ends a Hollywood breakfast.
Well, that's all we have time for today, friends. But be sure to tune in again tomorrow for more fun with our guests at Breakfast in Hollywood. This is Carl Webster Pierce, turning the mic back to your host, Gary Breckner.
I've only got time to say this, folks. That big seventh war loan is on, and get out and buy bonds and hang on to those that you have.
You've been listening to Gary Breckner pinch-hitting for Tom Brenneman. Tom Brenneman's Breakfast in Hollywood is brought to you at the same time every day, Monday through Friday, by Kellogg's Pep and Procter & Gamble's Ivory Flakes. Stay tuned for the latest headline news. It will be heard over these stations immediately following the next announcement.
Here's a grand tip for breakfast time. Surprise your family with that marvelous new Kellogg cereal, Kellogg's Raisin 40% Bran Flakes, and see how easily you make a four-star hit. What's more, Kellogg's Raisin 40% Bran Flakes are nourishing. Today, ask your grocer for Kellogg's Raisin 40% Bran Flakes, Kellogg's new double-feature cereal treat. This is the Blue Network of the American Broadcasting Company. Treat. This is the Blue Network of the American Broadcasting Company.